You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to The Light Show. My name is Dr. Kate DeVries. I work in the Young Adult Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I am here with the director of our office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
And good morning, Dr. Kate. How are you today?
I am well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent, I'm good. Excellent.
And Kate, what was last Saturday?
Last Saturday was Valentine's Day. I hope you had a lovely, lovely Valentine's Day.
Well, actually, let's be specific here. It was Saint Valentine's Day.
Saint Valentine's Day.
In the United States, though, besides the religious feast, it is Valentine's.
It was
Valentine's Day, and it's sort of a big deal. And for those of us, Kate and myself and Socorro Perez in our office, and Elise Ainsworth Bryson and Terry Shelley, who work in our two satellite sites, what we're going to do today is the most important thing that are a part of the young adult world, relationships.
Let's do relationships.
And so we're going to chat about that today in the shadow of Valentine's Day. And we've got some very interesting people, we think, this morning that we want to introduce you to and to share some wonderful stories and experiences. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct, Father Cusick.
Great.
So when people talk about, you know, what things are young adults concerned about, what things are people in their 20s and 30s concerned about, at the top of the list is always relationships. It seems like we are all looking to be more connected, to find that significant other, to build that relationship, to marry, to live happily ever after. That's the dream. That's the myth.
Let's be clear here that it's not just a dating thing. It's relationships, even for those who, in their young adult years, have married. It's a key thing today in our culture. Not only if we can to share in marriage, sacrament of marriage, with other people, but how do we sustain that relationship? And so whether you be single or married in your young adult years, this is the key issue.
The key issue, yes. Relationships inside, you know, the significant other question, the coworker question, the family question.
Sure.
Relationships are all around us, and we strive to do them well.
Sure. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to focus on building relationships, sustaining relationships, trying to find, if we can, the values that sustain us in marriage, sacramentalize that in the Catholic community, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Great.
Excellent.
So where should we start, Kate?
Let's start by just laying some groundwork, Father Cusick. First,
okay.
you know, part of our Theology on Taps, our speaker series, we do the Yacht Club, Young Adult Catholics Hanging Together, and we often do have somewhat of an expert on relationships. We've got counselors helping us and just people that do relationships incredibly well. And it always comes up, you know, there are myths about relationships, but the reality is it can be hard. It can be a struggle.
It is.
It can be incredibly good news, and it can be incredibly painful news. You know, when we're talking about the loss of a loved one, when we're talking about a relationship that you had high hopes for that doesn't work, and really it's nothing you did or nothing anybody did, or it could be something somebody did, but it can be incredibly painful. So we just want to put it all in the context of relationships are messy, they can be confusing, they can be complicated, but they are so significant and so rewarding. And as God's people, we are built to be in relationship.
Right.
You know, Adam had Eve, and, you know, our whole religious tradition is built upon being in relationship with one another and relationship with God.
And when we celebrate the sacrament of marriage, which is that everlasting relationship, we always say that that's a sign of God. So
yes.
Part of what we're looking for is not just love and to be loved, but this is God's presence among us.
Yes.
But the interesting thing today, and I will bet many of you who are listening, regardless of your age, background, whether you are married, are married, single, whatever, people are single longer today than they were ever before. Now, my parents married late. My mother, I think, was 39. My dad was probably in his early 30s. But way back in the war years, in the early 1940s, most people were married in their early 20s.
Yes.
Where the work that you and I do, we encounter people who are single much longer. And it's not as easy, I think, as it once was to marry, because there seems to be not a big rush on the part of a lot of people. And so the question that I get a lot of times in talking to young adults, and I'm so privileged to have that opportunity, is when they'll say to me, do you think, Father, will I ever meet anybody? You know, and what I always tell people is, first of all, understand something. Life doesn't owe us anything. And I think that there is a chip on people's shoulders today sometimes that says, you know, life owes me a spouse. Life owes me a husband. Life owes me a wife. Life owes me a job. Life owes us nothing. And I think if we can understand, Kate, and work off that as a platform, mm-hmm. I think we're much healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can enter into the flow of whether it's dating or engagement or good friends or whatever, not with the end result saying, okay, I'm somewhere along the line, I know I will be married. Well, I hope you do, but we have to get it out of our mind that life owes us something.
But there's something about the dream, you know, growing up, if you've had a good, solid family foundation, you watched your mother and father
Absolutely.
Come together and you knew that one day you were going to get married or one day you were going to have children or one day
Sure.
it was going to be, you know, that myth of living happily ever after. So what do you do when it's in your 20s or in your 30s that you look around and maybe things didn't turn out the way you expected them to?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I wonder how often my own mother, may she rest in God's peace, might have said, when she was in her 20s or 30s, maybe I'm going to be a single woman all my life.
Yeah.
You know, and then by God, in the end of her 30s, she meets this guy called George Cusick at a dance hall up on Milwaukee Avenue on the north side of Chicago, and winds up getting married to a foreigner, a South Sider.
And she was way from across town.
Sure. But one of the things, Kate, I've done over the years is tried to figure out what are some of the 10 key questions that people ask about life. And you know that when you ask a key question about life, what helps us understand an answer to those questions is our religious faith, that it gives us the lens to look at different things. And I remember a number of times people have said to me, well, isn't one of the key questions, will I be married? And I say, no, not everybody will be married, so it can't be a key question. But I said, in response, I said, I think one of the key questions is, will I be loved? Mm. And people say, well, that's what I meant. And I said, I think that's sometimes the problem today, that hopefully marriage and love are equated. But I think all too often in many situations, and I'm sure all of us who might be listening to this today, whether on our radios, car radios, home, downloaded to our iPods and MP3 players, there can be a huge difference between love and marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the thing you and I have tried to do in young adult ministry is to get people to ask the right question. Will I be loved? And then take that on a journey. And one aspect of love might be a sustained relationship in marriage. Would you agree to that?
I would agree to that. And the other piece of it is, you know, people talk about a spouse as being your other half or your better half or whatever, as if you're not whole or complete
Exactly.
by yourself as a single individual. And we need to put all of that aside and
Right.
say, I am a beloved daughter of God
Absolutely.
Or a beloved son of God,
Right.
and I am completely whole Mm-hmm. with my God in the state of being single as opposed to being married, even though marriage might be what I want. You know, I am completely whole, and I am going to make the most of my each and every day. I am
Absolutely.
Going to be fully alive, as our opening song was talking about. You know, being, you know, life in all of its elements.
And that's where I think when we ask the question, the right question, will I be loved? The immediate answer is, I am.
Okay.
And I think we miss that so often. You know, that, like you mentioned, we're not fully alive. We're not complete. We're not total. And sadly, I have seen, as we probably all have and experienced in some of our own family situations, that what is supposed to be a loving relationship can be just the other way, and the air can come out of the love balloon, and we seem to be less than we were, even as a single person.
Then that would be incredibly painful.
That can be difficult, but yet we know that the goal is to be loved.
All right. Now, Father Cusick, when people come and see you one-on-one and say, Father, how do I find someone to love? What's the response?
Well, let me use an adage. Desperate people do desperate things.
Okay.
So you can't be desperate. And how many times have I talked to women think it's the women's question, the biological clock. I hear that all the time. But it's a men's issue, and they don't like to talk about it that much. But I've talked to a number of younger men. Same question. Will I be married? How do I do this? And I think the first thing you have to do is you have to relax and enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more we panic, the more we push, the more we do desperate things, I don't think that we are free to fall in love. I think we can control it in some way or another. And one of the things, Kate, I've discovered in working with so many wonderful couples, preparing them for marriage for almost 39 years now, is I listen for pronouns. You'll have a couple in your office, and you're planning a wedding ceremony. And I remember somebody in my office once, it was my wedding, and everything was I, me, and my. And I wanted to ask this young lady, well, who's this guy sitting next to you? Is that going to be your husband? Is it my husband? Is it going to be our marriage? Is it going to be our wedding? Her pronouns to me seemed to reflect what she was looking for. She was looking to get married. And I simply wonder, was she looking to be in love? And I think when we're in love, all of a sudden our pronouns change. And I think that that's a very important thing, for what it's worth.
Absolutely. But not to discount, Father Cusick, that it is more of a woman's issue just because biologically, you know, that clock. You know,
oh, there's no doubt,
The clock ticking. So not to diminish that at all.
Oh, I'm not diminishing it.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to do is bring guys, I mean, let women know that guys are asking a question too.
Okay.
I think a lot of time we think it's only a woman's question.
Okay.
And guys won't pony up to it, trust me. We're a different breed of people. But I've sat with too many guys who ask the same thing. Mm. It's not the same biological question,
okay. But
it's the same almost emptiness, loneliness, worry kind of thing. Will I be married? And so I do think the question is asked by both genders differently.
Right.
But I want people to hear today that it is asked, trust me, by men.
Right.
And
women seem to have that conversation more frequently.
Yeah, well, that
I don't
be.
Know if the men have that conversation amongst themselves.
No,
but,
I don't think they do. You know, and there's not that many who have had it with me, but if you've had it with me, then there's got to be a lot of people who talk about it, because I think people ask about it.
All right.
Particularly if you're 34, 35, 36, and you're single, and you maybe have not even as a guy have had an awful lot of dating experiences. You know, hey, what's the future hold for me?
All right. But you said something important. Just strive to be free. What's going to get
you
free?
That's right. Absolutely.
What's going to keep you free? Be who you are. Go out and do what you love to do. That might be the best way to find, you know, if you're into photography, do a photography or biking or hiking or, you know.
Well, you bring up a good point. And when people ask us, Kate, well, where am I going to go to meet people? You know, and oftentimes the immediate knee-jerk reaction of somebody in their 20s or 30s is, I'm tired of the bars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's such a fake scene on a variety of ways. And so what you just mentioned, amazingly, is what I've suggested to people time and time again. What's your hobby? What's your passion? What do you like? I remember somebody said, well, you know, I love art. I said, contact the Art Institute. See what they have. How do they gather people together? What are your interests? And then expose yourself to people. And enter into the joy of people who I did the wedding of somebody recently who was involved in a tutoring program. And who does she meet? The love of her life.
There you go.
And she didn't go to a tutoring program to meet the love of her life. She went to the tutoring program to give some kid a chance at being a better human being. And who does she run into? A guy who wants to give someone a chance at being a better human being. And now they're helping each other be better human beings in marriage.
Excellent. So why don't we go to a break, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation. We're calling today's show Relationships What a Trip, and we thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
If you're a young person aged 13 to 30, you're invited to the Bread of Life Retreat. It's scheduled for February 27th to March 1st at St. Benedict's Parish on West Irving Park Road in Chicago.
Join hundreds of young people for 3 days of prayer, adoration, singing, and learning more about our Catholic faith. Cardinal Francis George and Bishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra will be present to celebrate Mass and speak to our youth.
This Eucharistic-centered retreat will transform youth from being passive Christians to being active disciples of Jesus Christ.
Visit our website at www.breadoflifechicago.org or call 773-588-6484 for more information.
That's www.breadoflifechicago.org or call 773-588-6484.
Register today and be part of the Bread of Life retreat that will open hearts and change lives.
We are back with more of The Light Show right here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. This is Dr. Kate DeVries along with Father John Cusick. And today our topic is Relationships, What a Trip. And we have a phone guest with us who has been a wonderful, wonderful support to young adult ministry, our friend Jennifer Burke. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Kate.
How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent.
Hey Jen, how's the bride?
Oh, hi, Father Cusick.
The bride-to-be, not quite yet.
Well, yeah, she's
in that mode, do you think, Father Cusick?
She's the bride.
Jennifer came up to me after Mass. We're in the same parish, and she said, "Okay, I've got some great news," and I met her fiancé. Jennifer,
ooh,
congratulations.
Thank you.
How
hey,
exciting.
Jen, who's this great guy?
His name's Greg.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And you have you guys set a date?
No, we haven't yet. Not
okay.
Just yet.
Okay. Oh, well, I don't, you know.
It's relatively new, so we'll give them a little time.
I'm the last one to know anything, Jen. I'm the last one to know anything. You know that.
All right. The more important question is, Jennifer, we were just talking about moving from being single to being married. Can you tell us a little bit about your story, how you met and what your journey toward him was like?
Well, the journey toward him seems like it was a very long time. I had been married before and in my 20s, and I got divorced and moved back to the Chicagoland area back in 2003.
Okay.
And that's when I got involved in young adult ministry, and I
majorly involved. Jennifer's yes. Wonderful, wonderful support. Go ahead.
But it was a time where I knew that I needed to create a new life for myself and meet people.
Okay.
And I did just that. I set that as my goal, and I thought to myself, if I can enjoy myself doing things that I like to do,
there you go.
And I'm still meeting people at the same time, all the more that's better.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Sure. Good
yeah.
for you.
Sure.
Good for you.
So I did things that I liked and tried to make sure that I was putting myself out there and I was trying to be single, which is always a harder thing as you get older. Being single seems a little awkward. You feel like you're back in high school when you start to flirt with somebody.
Yeah.
I just kept going to places and doing things, and I decided, after I saw a friend get married, I decided I'm going to give eHarmony a try, and I got on there, and that's how I met Greg.
How about
wonderful.
That?
Yeah.
There you go. An internet relationship. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. How about that?
That's a whole other show.
I know, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot
mixed
of
blessings.
Lot of people who are your grandparents' age listening to the show saying, oh, my God, another, you know, these young people with their crazy computers.
Hey.
But it's where we find the loves of our life because there aren't no dance halls today, you know?
No, it's not quite the same.
That's the point, you
yeah.
know? And so it's been a good ride for you, huh?
Yes, it's been full of interesting twists and turns. And you know, once I met him and I kind of knew that
okay.
this was the one.
Okay, Jen, here's the big question. I get this all the time, and I always defer to people who can answer it experientially and not just me who spouts what he hears. How do you know it's the right person? I hear that you can't imagine. Well, maybe you can because you've seen us in our office. You can't imagine how many times I'm asked that question.
Yeah.
Father, how do you know it's the right person?
Well, I dated a lot. And when you know what you want out of life, I think that makes a big difference. I think one of the things that I learned along my journey was that I had to be happy with myself, had to be happy with where I was in this world and know what I really wanted
sure.
in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and that made it that much easier. But when Greg came along, I noticed that he was a nice guy. He didn't make me feel like I needed to be wary. And,
sure.
And I could be myself, and it seemed as though as time went on, I realized more and more there were just so many things that we enjoyed doing together.
Wonderful.
And time with him flew by.
There you go.
Was a great experience to actually meet somebody that I didn't even realize, oh my gosh, I just spent a whole weekend with him, and poof.
Sure.
You know, it's great to notice that.
Let me tell you the answer, Jen, that I heard once from, it was just from a guy, and see if it syncs with you and Greg a little bit. I said to this guy, I said, how do you know this is the right woman? He looked at me in the eye and said, well, Father, the answer is going to be pretty silly. I said, why? He said, because you just know. And I said,
and the rest of us are like, come on,
yeah.
give me the details.
And he said to me, that's not helpful, is it? I said, no. But he said, you just know. And I think if you take that apart, it's what you're saying. There's a level of comfortability. There's a level of being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level that you know that you're not selling yourself. You're giving yourself as gift and receiving a gift in return. And I think those you just know. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I think one of the things that I had realized in past relationships after I had been with Greg even a short time was how much I had been giving in relationships and realizing that I needed somebody to give to me as well.
There you go.
To make it reciprocal.
Right.
Yeah. And that made a huge difference when I realized, oh my gosh, that other person should be giving to me too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very exciting to realize that he was actually doing that and feeding me in so many different ways.
Exactly.
And as far as just knowing, I'd have to agree with him, is that you kind of just know within a, I'd say within a first handful of dates that this was somebody that so many things just start clicking and falling into place, and you go, wow.
And deep down feeling.
Right, and then the dating process becomes the reality check. You know, is this real? How's it going? That kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can fall in love very easily, but when you realize, okay, is this somebody I would really want to spend a long lifetime with?
Well, that's it. See, that's where I don't want to sound like I'm a therapist here, but I think there's hormonal love, and then I think there's relational love, and I think relational love is much more. It's much deeper.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're not 20.
No.
And we're not 16 years old running in the house and saying, Mom, I'm in love.
I have that too, but yeah. I think you wake up and realize, I think it's when you listen to your gut feeling that you're not making excuses for how that person behaves or that, oh, they just forgot to do something or they should have remembered, you know, a holiday or a special event or something, and that they're willing to, you know, meet you where you are in your life and not wanting you to be somebody different that fits into some other picture that they're looking for.
Yeah, wow. It's communal. It's a two-way street. It's you enter into communion with somebody else. They give you life, and you give life in return.
Exactly.
What a neat thing.
Well, Jennifer, we wish you all the best.
Oh,
Thank you.
If we can
ever
do anything with the planning, let us know.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Thank
goodness.
You.
And
how
I got to meet this guy, you know.
Have to bring him around, Father.
He's got to get the Cusick stamp of approval.
Don't tell him that.
I'm teasing. Jen, I couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you.
And it just radiates in your voice that you've moved to a different space.
Yes.
And that space is always sacred, and that's where God is found when we're in love.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
Peace.
Peace out.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to take a little break, am I correct?
Let's take a little break.
All right, and then we're going to be back, and we've got other guests this morning we're going to share with you on The Light Show, where we're talking about relationships, Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries from the Young Adult Ministry Office of the mighty Archdiocese of Chicago.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Welcome back to The Light Show with Dr. Kate DeVries and Father John Cusick. And today our topic is Relationships, What a Trip.
And as we mentioned, Kate, at the beginning of our show, this is really the critical question in the young adult world. And, you know, I don't think it's just a young adult. It's a critical question, period. How do we develop as adults relationships with other people, sustain them, not have a pity party that we have no one who cares for us, and keep, as Jen said, keep having fun, enjoying your life, and putting yourself in the presence of other people, maybe with whom you can enjoy that sense of life together. But as you mentioned earlier, and I don't think I can emphasize enough or reinforce perhaps what you said, you are a whole person. You're not a half a person if you're a single person. Mm-hmm. You're not just a wounded person if some relationship didn't work. You are a whole person. And I think this is where great Catholic theology and faith works for us. We are, as you said, I am a daughter of God, and I'm a son of God. I am no, there's nothing greater that I can be, and God chooses to call me nothing less. I think a lot of people feel that they're not just quite alive if this isn't there or that's not there in their life. And I don't know. I just have a problem with that.
I think part of the issue, though, is loneliness, that we need to learn how to be alone and not lonely.
That's
or
a
when
huge
we
difference.
Are lonely,
right.
What can we do about that?
Right.
Can we rely on our faith? Can we pull out a good book? I at one point, you know, made a complete list of that which makes Kate happy, so that in those times when I was struggling and alone and feeling lonely, I could turn to my list and say, I can call a friend. I can go for a walk. I can, you know, take a hot bubble bath. You know,
sure.
What are the things that I just love to do? And rely on those, but also to find, as you said, as Jennifer has said, to be open to things, find what you love to do, and get connected to people.
Exactly.
I joined the health club. It was one of, I thought it was a silly thing to do to pay to exercise, but I've met some wonderful
there
people, and it's so exciting.
Right.
And now even when I'm, you know, on a Saturday and it's kind of a lull, I can go to the health club and work out and relieve some stress, and then talk to people and not be alone. You know?
Exactly. You know, you hit on something here, which I hope our listeners can understand, a difference between being alone and being lonely. I think we have to be comfortable with ourselves.
Yes.
Sadly, in my work as a Catholic priest, I've met an awful lot of people in the middle of family life and marriages who are lonely. And lonely, you can be lonely surrounded by all kinds of people.
Right.
I mean, if you're a parent, you can feel lonely with your kids in the same room. You can feel lonely being with the person with whom you are married, whether it's for 3 months or 35 years. But being alone, being able to say, this is who I am as a human being, that I am not just an extension of someone else,
mm-hmm.
I think is so really, really important. And my concern in the young adult world today is that a lot of people have not challenged their aloneness and have learned how to live in it. They live in a very busy world. It's a world where you get in the car, the radio's on. Mm-hmm. It's a constant world of noise, entertainment, television, videos. And it's like, wait a second, shut it all down and go look in a mirror and see who you are. And I think that that is such an amazing gift to the world. Relationships begin with me. Mm-hmm. And that's where I said, I think too many people put what I call a for sale sign on themselves. Here, I'm for sale. Will you buy me? Mm-hmm. And I think the question isn't I'm for sale. The question is I'm a gift. I'm a gift. And I want to share my gift with other people and allow them to be a gift to me.
Excellent.
And I think that's an important thing.
Yes, it is.
I think we have on the line one of the great relational scholars of the world.
I think we do, too. Good morning, Mr. Hannigan.
Hello, Kate.
Oh, my goodness. We, ladies and gentlemen, as you know who listen to Relevant Radio, the director of the Family Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, Mr. Francis Hannigan.
John, you're overstating things.
Oh, no. I mean, and how could we, Frank, do a show on relationships if we did not bring in the wisdom of the director of Family Life in the Archdiocese of Chicago? Everything from pre-Cana to sustaining marriages, all kinds of things. And you're the guru. You know that.
Well, I've learned a lot over the years. I've had the opportunity to work with so many wonderful engaged and married couples. And education goes both ways, and learning goes both ways.
Sure.
I've learned every bit as much as I think I might have shared with others.
Absolutely. Excellent. But, Frank, we're going to ask you to wear a different hat. That's the hat of a dad.
All right.
And I understand it's a grandfather now too, but we're going to stop with the hat of a Southside dad who's he's got five sons, he and his bride.
Yep.
And one of them is now married.
Yeah, Patrick's been married now for about 3 years.
There you go. Okay. And so Frank, here's a question.
All right.
To your married son or even to all of your five kids. Was there any dad's advice that you've given them or give them? Maybe your oldest in terms of getting married, and he comes home and says, "Dad, I think I'm going to get married." What comes out of your mouth when you hear that or you heard that for the first time?
Well, I think, John, as I remember back to Patrick and Julie, they had been going out for a number of years, and you know, Julie's a wonderful young lady. The first response was, we were so excited and happy to have a daughter now in the family.
Five sons.
After having the five sons. But, you know, we were excited for them, and we realized, both Marilyn and I, that, you know, we had been involved with pre-Cana work as a volunteer, and then I, you know, started doing this as a full-time job, that we modeled both good and bad, what should happen in a marriage.
There you go. Mm.
Bad,
yeah.
Not intentionally, of course, but,
right.
You know, we're real, too. And, you know, do we have disagreements? Sure we do. And, you know, the boys over the years have seen us disagree and reconcile. They've seen us laugh and have fun together. And I think we realize that the modeling of a marriage is so important for, you know, the young people or not-so-young people to take a look and see. So that was a real important piece that was a revelation to ourselves. It's almost like when you're driving a car, you can't tell a 16-year-old don't speed if dad's speeding.
There you go.
You know,
okay.
So we really had to model for them. And then it's just, you know, Julie and your marriage has to come first. You know, you're no longer the single bachelor college graduate guy and, you know, can do what you want and you're, you know, making money. No, you know, the marriage comes first. And,
there you go. Yeah.
You know, how do we deal with that? And how do I make good decisions that are, you know, friendly to the marriage?
There you go. And how does almost any decision, every decision I make, be made through the eyes of the one I love?
Absolutely.
You know, and now, of course, with their son, every decision both Patrick and Julie make, either independent of each other or as a couple, have to come through the eyes of their little kid.
It's really the truth, you know. First of all, when you're newly married, is, you know, you ask the decisions, you know, is this what I'm doing, is this good for our marriage, is it not good for our marriage? And
exactly.
I think that lens helps you to say, you know, I can't go out and hang out with the guys and watch two football games on Sunday afternoon. Maybe I have to scoot home early, or maybe I have to pass on that. And then certainly when their son Brady came along, I could see a change, especially in Patrick, and that, you know, I said, what are you doing this weekend? He said, well, I'm going to hang out with Shorty for a little while. I'm like, how do you like that? So, yeah, and he just loves it because, you know, sometimes, you know, Brady's in bed by the time he gets home from work and everything. So the time he can spend with his son is just, you know, precious, precious time. And, they grew up so quickly.
Yeah. And Frank, it's interesting you say that. Here he is. I want to hang out with Shorty. And nostalgically, I triggered in my own mind immediately on hearing that how much I used to love to hang out with my dad.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I didn't have five. He didn't have five sons. He only had me. So I didn't have to fight for dad time.
For the time, sure.
But I'm telling you, if he said, and if we went to, whether it would be a tavern or a pool hall or going to the store, I just like being with my dad.
Absolutely.
And yeah, wow.
You can just look back and enjoy those times. I think of, you know, coaching sports with the boys when they were younger, and now, you know, our son Mark, our fourth guy, who's, you know, I think 24 years old, he'll come over, you know, he's not living at home anymore, and say, "Hey, Dad, you want to play catch?"
Oh.
I'm like, "Oh my God, he's going to kill me!"
Yeah.
He throws so much harder than I
can
do it. My arm's going to fall off my shoulder, but it's like, absolutely, I want to play catch.
You
know, it's a wonderful thing. So, it's great to spend time with them. It's great to see how they develop and. If you're able to give advice, but I would say even more than giving advice is to listen to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, when they're, you know, 13 and 14 and 15, they think you're as dumb as a box of rocks.
Absolutely.
You know, they say, oh, my God, my parents. You know, by, you know, 21, 22, 23, they're starting to come around. And they're saying, you know, gee, Mom and Dad, you know, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? You know, when Patrick or Julie calls home and says, you know, and Ma, how do you cook this? Now, we were thinking about cooking this for the first time, in their first year of marriage. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we see them at church on Sunday. That's a great thing. That's like, you know, that means a whole lot to me. We don't have to ask. They're there, and that's wonderful stuff.
Yeah, and that's just such a key thing. But it's like you said, it's modeling. It's being supportive. And I suppose you can't say anything when he comes home to get say, I'm getting married, than you haven't already told him before.
Well, you know,
it's a constant theme.
That's exactly it. And it was like, you know, have they been paying attention, as Patrick and, you know, his other brothers in time as well, have they been paying attention at all to what Mom and Dad have been doing,
exactly.
What Mom and Dad have been saying? And, you know, again, it's the day in and day out where your spouse has to come first. When I talk with engaged couples, it's the very best thing that a husband and wife can do for their child or children is to have a happy, healthy, holy couple relationship.
There you go.
If you can do that, your kids are going to be heads and shoulders above other kids.
Sure. One little piece of advice, Frank, from the priest who does a lot of these weddings.
Oh, sure. You do
is
plenty.
This. My advice, I've told couples and continue to tell them, understand how important your wedding is to your parents.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about you and your bride or you and your groom. I had a father of a bride, Frank, one night sitting in the first pew for the rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And the rehearsal's coming to an end, and he's got his arm thrown over the pew, and he was sort of off in his own little world. And he looked at me, and he said, "Father, tomorrow is going to be a very hard day for me." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "Well, you know, I'm walking her down the aisle. I carried her home from the hospital."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a tremendous stuff that runs through a parent on the day a child is married.
Absolutely. It's a melancholy kind of
feeling.
I mean, it's bittersweet. You're so happy that they're growing up. We try to give our children roots and wings.
There you go.
And, you know, they can always come home and always come back to Mom and Dad and listen and you know, come for dinner and all the rest of it. Absolutely. But we don't want them hanging on to our pants legs. Children should grow up and become independent and become their own person.
Right.
And, so for parents, I have those exact same feelings.
Yeah,
you know, like, wow, I talk about marriage and weddings all the time, but when my own son was married, you know, I had tears in my eyes.
Absolutely.
It was so powerful, so important. You know, the step he was taking, the wonderful wife he was marrying, it's like, wow, I still get goosebumps.
Yeah, it's cool. Hey, we got to go to a break, and Frank, it's a joy. We get the privilege about every year and a half to pull you into our little show for something.
Happy to do it.
And
with you guys.
Thanks for everything you do for the young adult world and so many other people and all the relationships and families and everything you deal with. You're the very, very best, and I'm proud to call you my friend.
Thanks so much, John
and
Kate. Proud to
Have
work with
day.
You guys.
God
Take
bless.
Care.
God
all
bless.
Right. Bye now.
And we'll be right back. The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Today is relationships.
And we have Kate on the line, one of God's great people, Dr. Duffy.
You are too kind, Father.
ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. John Duffy. I've known Dr. Duffy since he was a young man filled with dreams and hopes, and he is now a middle-aged man filled with dreams and hopes. And he's a wonderful counselor and therapist and somebody that I call on. If I need help and I need somebody calls me and says, you know, Father, I'm struggling, I just wouldn't think twice of recommending anybody to Dr. Duffy. So, John, you're a good hero in my life.
Well, that goes right back to you. And I have to say just the privilege of listening for these few minutes, there should be more, you know, positive broadcasting out there in the world. I just love to hear how you and Dr. Kate sound here.
Well,
thanks, John. Good morning. How are you? I got to get a word in edgewise. There you go.
John, one of the reasons that when I called you the other day asking for just a little bit of your time for our show is in some way or another, you know, you're the mechanic. You see human life when the wheels come off the cart.
Yes.
And so I think in some way or another, you know, you live in two worlds. You know, you and Julie and George, your son, live in a world of love and relationships. And then, you know, you go to work and you're trying to help people be better at that. And you see a lot of the crash and burn that's out there.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering, what if someone were to say to you, give me three qualities of a real good relationship, either relationship with my kid, relationship that might lead to marriage, qualities to sustain a marriage or a significant relationship, what have you learned?
Well, I'll tell you, probably my favorite quality is availability, true availability in a relationship. I'm here, I'm listening to you, I'm attentive to you, and that doesn't mean I'm coddling to you. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you, you know, like it is. But I'm listening, I'm attending, and I am present for you.
There you go.
And I think that's when the wheels go off. I think there's a lack of presence in a relationship, and that's with you know, significant others, teenagers, younger kids, you name it.
Sure.
Family members, coworkers, that could go on and on and on. That's a
it
great
really
insight.
Could, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
that's number one. Give me a two.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's when you just, after a while in relationships, we stop to consider one another. We no longer look each other in the eye. You and I, Father, had a conversation a couple weeks ago where we talked about families sitting down, having a meal together, and looking each other in the eye and actually, you know, attending to one another and saying, okay, I see this person and this person is important to me.
Right.
That, I think, is a critical piece of all intimate family relationships.
Sure. And again, that's the umbrella underneath your the umbrella of availability.
Yes,
it comes back to if you're not present to one another, well, you can't call it a relationship.
It's right. And you know, some of the best research out there, and there's very little very good research on relationships. There's too many variables to cover, but some of the best found that what they're looking for in relationships that are successful over time, any kind of relationship, are two variables, and they're fondness and admiration. So, you know, the research really indicated, well, it doesn't matter if you resolve arguments really well. You know, you need to be able to communicate. That's important. But really, if you've got fondness and admiration, you're off to the races.
You've
got legs.
Yeah. And I think the flip of that is don't take anything for granted.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you have admiration, you got to show it. You got to say it. You got to speak it. And you got to be present to it.
That's really the thing. I think a lot of times we feel something and we do not express it. And I have to say, you know, you and I, notwithstanding, Father, men by and large are not so good at this.
Oh, I know.
We tend to be better.
Oh, I know. It's not just a gene pool. It's the gender thing. Yeah.
It is the gender thing. Yeah.
We're missing a chromosome somewhere.
That's right. That's, I think that's probably true.
Yeah. No, that's very true. All right, John, here's another one for you.
Sure.
What do you do or what do you tell people? This is my language speaking. When the polish comes off the apple, when all of a sudden you're okay together.
Right.
But it's no longer, you know, the thrill is not as thrilling. The joy is not as joyful. You almost hit the rut. You almost hit the habit. Everything winds up same. That's what I mean. Because Kate said to me earlier, what do you mean the polish comes off the apple? What, you know, all of a sudden the apple looks sort of ordinary. It doesn't have all of that shiny stuff when you go into the store. When the shiny stuff, John, begins to wear off.
Yes.
What do you tell people when they say, you know, Dr. Duffy, I don't know.
Way it was when I married him or her.
Yeah, you know.
Right. You know. And one of my favorite places to go to is to ask couples, you know, even if they come into me in crisis, not just, you know, okay, the extraordinary is not ordinary, is, you know, well, what brought you together in the first place? What did you love so much about this guy? What did you love so much about this girl that, you know, that you were willing to go to the altar with them?
Yeah.
And then I want to kind of work with them on getting back to that place. So creating the extraordinary again, because by and large, in my experience, it's still there. It's just not attended to. And sometimes that becomes the stuff we abhor when in fact it's the stuff we really, in the end, love.
You have to go to the well.
Yeah.
You've got to go for the refreshing water.
Absolutely.
I remember, John, many years ago, a young man came to see me, and his early years of marriage, 3 to 5 years, were coming to, he thought, an end, and it was pretty terrifying. And he said, all we do is fight. And he said, we added a third person to dinner. And I said, well, who is that? He said, Tom Brokaw on NBC News. We have we have the TV on for dinner, so we don't have to talk to one another. I'm thinking, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he was desperate, and he said, do you got any advice for me? Then I sort of used in my language what you just shared with our listeners. I said to him, what aren't the two of you doing now? that you did when you were schmoozing her. When you began to realize, this, I think, is the love of my life.
Yes.
What aren't you doing now?
Yeah.
And he was a very serious guy, and he almost, you could see him go deep inside of himself and he'd furrow his eyebrows, and all of a sudden he looked up at me and he said, "Father, what you're saying is I should take her out on a date." I said, "Yes! Go to the well."
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
As you are saying, what are the things that you did you ain't doing anymore?
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. And I would add to that, that, you know, go back to the well and don't focus on those things. We all, after years, we get in these ruts and we end up talking about these specific things. You know, we have these little differences in raising kids or doing chores or, you know, money or whatever. Talk about something else when you go out to dinner.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You, what did you talk about when you were dating? What did you talk about when you were falling in love?
Right.
What were the topics and issues that you could use to draw someone's joy from them?
Yeah.
I thought it interesting in a 60 Minutes interview when the current president and his wife were being interviewed and talking about all of this security and everything. And they asked him, "Well, what are you going to miss?" He said, "Walks with my wife along the lakefront." He could no longer walk from his house in Hyde Park, holding his wife's hand and going over to Promontory Point.
How lovely is that?
That's
and
the
right,
point.
And the rest of us have the option.
Right.
we can actually still do that.
We can still do it. We can take walks. We can go to there. So we can go to there. I have some friends who have 5 kids, and they put in their calendar. They have very busy lives and very big professional lives. One weekend a month is their date weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They go nowhere. They stay home with their kids, and they spend one night out with each other, because they don't want to forget why they're parents.
How wonderful is that?
You know?
And I think that really does it. That makes the ordinary extraordinary again.
Right.
Without question. I think that's a really, really good point.
Okay. Kate, what else we have for Father?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. We're going
Dr.
to...
Duffy, thank you so much.
John, we're going to thank you very much. We're sorry that we had to hold you up a little bit today, but we're trying to get everything done here. And we're going to go to a little quick break at the end. We're not going to go to a break, but we're going to thank you very much for being here. And we wish you well. And if anybody, and I'm very shameless in how I promote people, if anybody's looking for a wonderful person to deal with their own lives, the lives of their marriage or their children, if you call Father John Cusick, I'll get you in touch with Dr. Duffy, because trust me, you will not be disappointed. He is really a gift from God to families, and I just can't thank you enough, John, for the career path that you've chosen.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. And
okay.
It's been a privilege and a lot of fun to talk to you both.
Okay.
Thank
and
you
love
so
to Julie
much,
and George, and I pray for your family.
Yeah, thank you very
okay,
much.
Okay, very good.
Okay, bye-bye.
And folks, we thank you so much for being with us today. A couple things. First of all, the Young Adult Ministry Office can be accessed a number of ways. We want to tell you about our website. And our website, Kate, is
www.yamchicago.org.
Now, on that website, you'll find a number of different things that occur for young adults in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
You will find this radio show that will be on the website. And if you'd like to download it, you can listen to it right off of your computer right there if you'd like, or download it to some type of MP3 device, take it with you, share it with someone else, take it on for a walk. Take it to the health club or whatever, you can do that as well. And if you want to give us your email address or somebody you know who's a young adult, you go to our website, www.yamchicago.org, and find on the first page where you can add someone's email, and we will get them information a couple times a month.
And Lent is coming up. Ash Wednesday is February 25th, and there are all sorts of things happening around the Archdiocese for people in their 20s and 30s. So if you're interested in attending a Lenten day of reflection or joining a small faith group or just getting more connected, please visit our website, yamchicago.org, and we will connect you to other great things that are happening.
Terrific.
Okay.
And please don't forget, the greatest relationship we have is with our Lord. Because God is love, and He's the one who prompts and urges us to pour that love into other people. Be at peace, have a good month, and we'll see you during Lent.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
Shine radiant with your glory.